Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company. Our organic yogurt business supports 200,000 acres of organic family farms. So we're proud to support thoughtful programming like Living on Earth, and hope you will too. Donate at loe.org.
Well, since the disaster, Japan has pulled the plug on all but two of its 53 nuclear reactors. The nation has always been energy poor. It imports 95% of its fuel. But for the past decade, Japan has been investigating a very unconventional energy source in the sea just off the coast. And now experimental drilling designed to commercialize what is known as methane hydrate is picking up speed, promising a new source of energy not just for Japan, but the world. Carolyn Ruppel of the U.S. Geological Survey at Woods Hole, Massachusetts, studies methane hydrate, which some call fiery ice.
One reason we call it fiery ice or fire in the ice is that you can actually light this little chunk of icy material on fire and it will sustain the flame. If you see them in a sort of concentrated form, they look like little chunks of ice. And sometimes if you put them on your hand, they will fizz because they're releasing the methane. They are not stable at normal pressures and temperatures. So it's releasing its methane.
These crystals of ice contain and lock in a lot of methane.
Right. The way to think about it is if you have 1 cubic meter of methane hydrate, if you were to break that down at sort of our atmospheric pressure and temperature conditions, you would get about 164 cubic meters of methane, essentially a very concentrated form of methane.
So methane, natural gas.
It's natural gas, but it's natural gas that is trapped within this form that concentrates it.
And there's a lot of this methane hydrates in the world.
Right. And there's still, even today, after many decades of study, there's still a lot of controversy about how much there is. But it is very substantial.
I heard that maybe 1,000 years worth of natural gas, methane, at current consumption worldwide.
Some people say 100, some people say 1,000.
Well, how could we mine this? Could we mine them?
What you probably want to do is stimulate the formation to release the gas. So ways to do that might be to depressurize the formation. It's under pressure and take the pressure off. The other method that has been actually attempted is to heat the formation up. And that way you could produce the methane.
What are they using in Japan in these experimental wells that they hope to turn into commercial wells?
What they're doing now is they're starting to drill the series of wells that will be necessary to get to the point of doing a long-term production test. And what a long-term production test would mean is proving that the amount of methane hydrate down there and the rate at which you could produce methane from it would make this a viable resource.
The United States has projects on the North Slope of Alaska to find out if we have these methane hydrates and can exploit them. And we know they have them there, right?
We know we have them. And the more critical question is how and if we can exploit them. Ultimately, the questions we're all looking at would be, what are the best ways to exploit them? And is it economically feasible to get to the point that gas hydrates become part of the total natural gas supply for the U.S.?
I understand that one of the richest places on the planet is in the Gulf of Mexico.
In terms of gas hydrate concentrations, from what we found so far, there are some very high saturation deposits within the Gulf of Mexico.
We should say that methane, natural gas, is a very potent greenhouse gas.
It is a very potent greenhouse gas. It's estimated to be 15 to 20 times more potent than CO2 in the atmosphere. But the concentration of CO2 is obviously much, much higher than methane.
If I were a drilling company in the Gulf of Mexico and I was drilling down through these methane hydrates layers and causing them to disrupt, could that cause a problem?
Well, we don't have any published evidence that there has been any kind of failure or problem related to drilling through gas hydrates. But certainly, there needs to be a lot more work done on these hazards.
Do you think a mistake in drilling could trigger climate problem?
No. You know, when we're drilling, it's a discrete borehole that's being made in the ground. And so that is unlikely to cause a methane release so large that this would have an impact. The other thing to remember is that particularly with deep water drilling, that methane, when it's released, goes into this huge pool of the ocean where the ocean is very undersaturated. So mostly it dissolves in the ocean. That may not be so good for the ocean, but it's not usually a freight train to get that gas directly out into the atmosphere.
So you think we can manage the risks?
I don't think there really are large risks to worry about with the production.
I was surprised to hear you say that because I've been reading about this and they talk about geohazards from methane hydrates.
Right.
Let me go through a couple of them. One would be climate change. 55 million years ago, they say there was a large-scale disruption of the methane in the ocean, and it caused basically mass extinction of marine life.
Yes, that's one explanation for a period for this mass extinction event, and also there was a large warming event. But I think it's important to make a distinction here between so-called geohazards, which are hazards like climate change or submarine slope failure, which is another hazard that has sometimes been attributed to gas hydrates. It's important to make a distinction between those kinds of hazards and hazards that might be related to drilling or producing in these deposits.
Well, you talked about this basically landslides in the ocean.
Which occur in the ocean sometimes, yes.
Because of the disruption of methane hydrates.
Well, I think it's very unlikely that gas hydrates themselves trigger the landslide, but they may precondition these slopes for failure if there's an outside triggering event.
So an earthquake. If you had an earthquake,
yes.
It would disrupt the methane hydrates.
Or the associated free gas, yes, and potentially destabilize a slope, right?
Causing a tidal wave?
That has also been postulated. But the problem is, again, after a slide has already occurred, we have very little proof of what caused the slide.
So Japan has a very ambitious program right now. Relative to the United States, how big is it compared to what we're doing?
Well, the total spending in the U.S. since about 1999 has probably been about $130 million. In Japan, the project they've undertaken now, the investment is about $1 billion. And that's from sort of doing what we call the geotechnical wells through the production tests.
But, Japan has the compelling forces of urgent necessity.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if you were an optimistic person, I'm guessing you are, when do you think we could start mining this if it was economically feasible?
Well, Japan may be there in a decade easily. Let's talk about the U.S. We're probably talking 15 years before we'd start being able to add that to the natural gas stream. There is one important thing to note, which is that natural gas has the same problem in many places, which is it has to be near a way to move the natural gas. So here's a situation where the natural gas may be sitting in deep water environments very far from the coast or in Alaska, and you have the same problem again. Natural gas, in that sense, is natural gas.
Well, Dr. Ruppel, thank you so very much for coming in.
It's my pleasure.
Carolyn Ruppel is a research geophysicist with the Gas Hydrates Project at the U.S. Geological Survey at Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Just ahead, studying tsunamis in a swimming pool. Keep listening to Living on Earth.